All right, well, our time has went so rapidly, so fast in being here, and we've enjoyed our time greatly. And thank you for how you have, we got to know a number of y'all much better. And in the future, I guess when we come back, we'll be able to relate in a better way, greater way. But God bless you for your faith and trust in Him. And as you exemplify and demonstrate Jesus here where God has called you to serve, our faith is a precious thing. And faith is one that will be challenged. But as we continue to embrace God's word and His ways, then God will do abundant above all that we could ask or think. Just a couple songs prior to the message here this evening. The first one puts in perspective the mountains that are before us, but a God that is much bigger than those mountains. Tell the mountain just how big your God is. In the foothills of sorrow, looking up from the valley of fear, you can see doubt off in the distance, and you're about to lose heart right here. But don't ever give in, don't ever give up. God is with you, and you'll overcome.
The mountain will tell you that you can't make it over. It will try to convince you that it's way too high. Though you feel defeated, know that God keeps His promise. So you tell the mountain just how big your God is.
Remember all the trials He's brought you through, and when His power gave you strength for the journey, the very hour you needed. So don't be discouraged, 'cause time after time, God's never failed you. Go on and climb. The mountain will tell you that you can't make it over. It will try to convince you that it's way too high. Though you know that God keeps His promise. So you tell the mountain just how big your God is. Though you feel defeated, know that God keeps His promise. So you tell the mountain just how big your God is. So you tell the mountain just how big your God is. Just how big your God is.
Amen. God is bigger. God is greater. That's the God that we serve, the creator of the world. Chante and Kyrie, if you all come, the God of the world, the God that created the world. And if He created the world, He cares about what's happening within your and my life. And He can change any event at any time because He's sovereign, a good God. And gals, if you would sing, they've made a lot of friends here during their time, and they're not going to be... They're going to be sad when we travel down the road here this evening, I believe. But thank God for them. There's a song that, there may be some new ones here that we did not, were not here when we sang this song earlier. But it talks about the not complaining, not fussing, not whining. It's a song that has some motions to it. So everybody get ready. And partway through, will ask you to join us after they do their verses. Wah, 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 call the Wambulance. Here we go.
Pity party starting any minute. Well, 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 call the Wambulance. You quit complaining or I'll put you in it. Pray your God, don't be a whiner. Be a sending in the finger on the timer. Cause if you make a fuss, call the Wambulance, we must. Well, 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 call the Wambulance.
All right, there you see the most. Next time it's everybody. Everybody get ready after Kyra's verse.
All I do is work all day, doing all my chores, cleaning up my messy room, sweeping all the floors. Mommy made me clean my place, give me in my chair, pity me cause life just isn't fair.
All right, here we go.
Well, 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 call the Wambulance. A pity party starting any minute.
That looked very good. If you weren't brave enough to try, you have one more chance after this verse. Here we go.
I don't like to go to school. Homework is a bore. Get me anything you want. 2 plus 2 is 4. Kyra took my candy bar and she will not share. Pity me cause life just isn't fair.
All right, here we go, everyone. There goes the ambulance, and a good reminder for all of us to be thankful, to be grateful daily for God's blessing. Like if Shantae and Kyra would do another song, and one from their video. You know, sometimes as children talk, their perception can be, even though it's off, it can be very revealing as to what's really going on in our lives as adults. And this song talks about that, and listen to that conversation.
I don't ever want to grow up. Oh, since you can't play, you've got to work all day. I don't want to grow up either. Why? The truth gets you busy too. Pray, Bobby says praying doesn't help much. Oh, he says you gotta do it yourself. The guardians say that in the Bible.
Bible?
The big black book on mommy's shelf. Oh yeah. Who's God? He's my father.
You mean your dad?
No, silly.
Yes?
Yes, he made everything.
Everything?
Yes, everything. He even made you.
Nah.
Where's God? He's everywhere.
Where?
Yes, everywhere. Tell me what does he do? He takes good care of me and you.
Why?
Because he loves us.
But why? I don't know, he just does.
Well, I still don't really want to grow up.
Oh,
but if I do, I think I'll pray.
Oh,
cause I know that he would help me if I is really that way.
Well, you don't have to wait until you grow up.
No,
if you want, we can talk to him too.
Okay.
Thank you, God, because you love us.
You all can go back.
I'll share a little bit of a funny story that goes along with that song. You know, when you're doing a video like that, there's a lot of things that happen behind the scenes that you're not,
just
we realize
off camera,
but the rest of you can't really see. But with that song, the girls were looking so forward because they knew we were talking about getting these big lollipops for them to have for on this song as a kind of as a prop to use. And so a friend of ours who was helping us pick up supplies, he went to a Mass General store and came back with these lollipops. Well, as soon as they started filming, they started licking. And there was a number of shots we were getting that they just had this disgusted look on their faces because the lollipops, I think the one was called buttered popcorn, and it tasted really, really bad. And so they're, throughout the song, they're licking on these lollipops that taste, yeah, they were not very tasty at all. So that's a little bit of behind the scenes. Another song, is it the one, He Knows My Name, where Shantae is walking through the woods and she's looking at the camera. And she, as she was walking, she was singing. She never missed a beat, but just right in front of her, a mouse ran right in front of her and made this, you know, this noise. And she kept right on going, didn't stop. And we thought it was kind of funny. If it would have been Kyra, it would have been definitely a different story.
Yes. Yes. We'd like to share one more song. And the cross that was before Jesus. And I believe as believers, we face those crosses as Jesus faced them. He said, God, if there's any way you can take this cup from me. That was human side. Times we say, God, if there's any way that you can deviate, do something different. God, if you can do the miraculous, please do. But then he went on and said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That is, Jesus is our perfect example for those crosses that are in our life. Alicia, if you would sing, and Brianna, thy will be done.
I'm so confused. I know I heard you loud and clear, so I follow through. Somehow I ended up here. I don't wanna think, I may never understand. There's a broken heart, is this not a real plan? When I try to pray, all I got is hurt and these poor words.
Thy will be.
Distracted by the noise, just trying to make sense of all your promises. Sometimes I gotta stop, remember that you're God and I am not. So
thy will be done, thy will be done, thy will be done.
Sees us, God hears us, God knows. Brother Daniel.
Okay, at this time we'll be receiving the offering. The ushers are ready. You can come forward. Dwayne, were you needing me to close? You just want to go ahead and close? Okay, all right. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the many ways you've blessed us. Thank you, Lord, that one of those ways is materially. I pray, Lord, that you would take what is given this evening. Take it. Bless it, multiply it to your good and your glory. Bless those that give. Bless Dwayne's and their ministry. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
As they wrap up taking the offering, I might just mention that there's several books that are out there on the table. Big Mountain, Bigger God is our testimony book. And to give hope to those that are facing loss, it wasn't supposed to end with Austin's passing, but while we were in the middle of writing it, that was the chapter that was written. And then, and all the books are personal project that we as a family are doing. So there's a white envelope. And this being Sunday, take what you'd like. Take a white envelope for any of the books that you take, including Cindy's cookbook, and send the donation. And all the songs that we're singing are on some recording. My Lighthouse is the latest DVD that the Low Girls Project. And then we have those songs on CD also. And then Thy Will Be Done is the title song of our latest family project. And Sunlight and Walking in Step, Come Thou Fount, several that we've sang this week so far, and there's gray envelopes available for any of the recordings. So take what you like from the table and take a donation envelope and send a donation to the ministry as God directs you. And we don't want to be finances to be a hindrance for you taking, being able to take something, and we're thankful that what comes in over the cost of the product does help us to be able to share the message that God has placed on our heart to share and to communicate. And we thank God. It's a privilege for we as a family to do what we are doing. We recognize that. And over the years, it's been a privilege. And we thank God for how He's provided. Also, thank you for your offering that you shared with us. And without having benefits and different whether it's banquets or auctions, it God has provided, and we thank God for that. But there's not as much, just as with Gospel Express Prison Ministry Director, a lot more secure place, position. But today is a day of just trusting God, and He's providing day by day for our needs, and we thank God for that. The greatest thing that you can do for we as a family and ministry is just to pray for us, and we appreciate your prayers, that we can give hope to people that have felt that betrayal factor, betrayed by God. And I had some outlines. If the ushers have those outlines, are there ones for this evening that you have that are printed? If there's some out available, that would be great. If there's not, that's fine. We will move on and we will move forward. If you find those or see those, make those available. Living as an Overcomer would be the final message for this series. And turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. And as you're turning and preparing for that, I'd like if Brianna would come. And I've had Alicia share on Saturday night, and Cindy shared this morning a bit of testimony. And this evening, I'd like if Brianna would share, as we think of living as an overcomer, there is a... it's one of my favorites as far as the content, because we can be overcomers. God has given us that privilege to be overcomers and to live as overcomers. And so just different key components that have been a part of our life as we have desired to be an overcomer and to live as an overcomer. And so as you're taking the outline, each adult, everyone that can follow along and fill in the blanks, it's a very basic outline. But if you want to take one, any other notes that you'd like to take besides what is outlined there, you're welcome to do that. And so, Brown, if you just share from your perspective and a bit of a testimony here.
Yeah, you know, like Dad has said, it's been really great to be able to get to know a number of you better. When we came on Thursday evening, we saw, you know, an audience here, but now we see more individuals and names and people, and so it's been really good to get to know a lot of you. And yeah, as we go on from here, it'll be exciting to see when we can have more time of relating. When Dad asked if I would share tonight, I was thinking about us gathered here, and I had to think of the quote by R.T. Kendall that Dad shared earlier in the week, I forget which night it was, where he said that 100% of believers go through a time in their life where it feels like God has let them down. And he goes on to say more than 90% fail to break through that betrayal barrier. And I don't know what that may look like in your life. I know from talking to a number of you, there's been difficult things that you all have went through as well. I know that that is the case. And so as you think about in your mind just that time where it felt like, where there was something that you were really wanting, you really wanted this to happen really badly, but it didn't. Or something that you never wanted to happen, but it did. I don't know what picture you might get in your mind or what you might think back towards. But for me, it was a very specific picture, a very vivid picture that I get in my mind. And I think back to that day in October, that cold day as we were gathered together outside as a family. And I just remember watching as they lowered the casket into the ground, and hearing the sound as dirt hit wood. that was my moment. That was my time of saying, God, do you really know what's going on? Do you really understand? Like, God, why would you let something like this happen? I was serving God. I was following Him, and my brother Austin dying, it just seemed like, what on earth could God do out of this? And it was a journey, it was a process. We didn't travel as a family for a number of months, but I struggled with that feeling of betrayal, and that was my betrayal barrier. And if you're in a time right now that it's difficult, like you're going through that right now, it is okay to grieve. It takes time. That when you have losses like that in your life, you need to be able to feel that pain. But I'm so thankful for my parents and others that were able to speak into my life and help me just in processing things. And I went through this, time of just trying to figure out how this makes sense, how our Christian life makes sense when things like this happen. And it was a journey, it was a process, but if there was one thing that just flipped the switch for me, and that was the concept of eternity and of heaven. And, you know, not heaven as like a faraway place that you go when you die, like a lot of people think. It's usually very vague in people's minds, I found. Like, it's maybe like floating in clouds, like it's just a very vague picture that a lot of people get in their mind when they think of heaven. But heaven is really so much more real than what any of us know. That is really what we were created for. Like, if I were to ask you here tonight, how many of you want to go to heaven when you die? It's not a trick question. Okay, I hope all of our hands go up. Now, how many of you want to go to heaven right now? Like, we don't even have to stop the service. Let's go now. Okay? All of a sudden, there's not as many hands. Like, people are like, whoa, wait, like now? Like, and especially for me as a young person, it's like, you want to live your life. You want to have things that you want to accomplish. You want to go to Thailand. You want to go to different places as missionaries, or you have your life planned out. And I think that's a misconception of heaven and how real it actually is. Randy Alcorn wrote a book entitled Heaven. Has anyone read that book? A couple? Yeah. It's a very good, it's a thick book, but it's very good. And he just talks about just things that we wouldn't think about heaven and how real it actually is and how there's activity and there's things that it's really not just, because I've heard it described as a never-ending church service. And for me as an 8-year-old hearing that, I'm like, wait, you know, doesn't exactly seem exciting to an 8-year-old. But it is so much more real than what we think. In that book titled Heaven, Randy Alcorn compares our entire lives as a dot. And from this dot extends a line. The line goes all the way to the wall over there. And if you picture the line as eternity and the dot as our lifetime, how many lifetimes do you think can fit in the space between where I'm standing here and the wall over there? There are hundreds, there are thousands. But the thing is, the line doesn't stop at the wall either. It goes on beyond the wall. It extends out across the state of Michigan, on out through the states as it works its way out west. It goes all the way to the West Coast. How many have been to the West Coast? Yeah, most of you. That's a long way. All the way beyond that, it goes off into the ocean and out into space. It goes on forever. And if you trace that all the way back, space and the vastness of it, we don't even know how big it is yet, to the West Coast, the ocean, the West Coast, all the way across the states, to Michigan, to the wall, to the dot. Our life on earth is so brief in comparison to eternity. And so I may not have all the time that I thought I should have with my brother. But in light of eternity, if God can use something about the situation to affect somebody else's line, is it not worth it? That is really what we are created for. And so often we live our lives like, long-term planning is if you're thinking like 20 years down the road. That's long-term planning. That's, we're not even outside of the dot yet. So often we just spend our lives looking at things from an earthly perspective, which that's where we're living right now. But we need to realize that's not what this life is about. And so I would just encourage you to live your life as looking at it from the eternal perspective, because things change. You can have the most difficult life on this earth, and yet, in light of eternity, it is still worth it to follow God, and it is still worth it because we're looking at the line and not just as the dot. So just as you're living your life, it's a good reminder to me too, because I can get so caught up in looking at the here and the now in just different things. But that's the other part, is that when you're looking at life from eternal perspective, you want to do what it takes to have that relationship, to invest in things that are going to last, like relationships, like your relationship with God, your relationship with other people. And so, like I mentioned, that there were people in my life that were able to come around me and help to walk me through things. I would just encourage you to reach out to those around you and to be real and be open to people that are around you, because that is what the family of God is for. The more we are real with other people, the more when I went through the time of having the most victory in my life was times that I was real and I was willing to take that step and talk to somebody else, let somebody else in. Because then we see that people, we're all together. We're all in this together. We struggle with this, some of the same things. And we get so good at putting up this facade of looking okay, like we all look pretty good in here, right? But if we could see what's on the inside of us, and if you could see what's inside of the people around you, I wonder what it would look like. And so the more we can live for eternity, live for the line, not just the dot, and the more we can reach out and be connected with others, be willing to share and be vulnerable, those were the two key things in my journey that I found that was really just so valuable for me. Because our life on earth is not just about our life on earth. It's about eternity.
Amen. Thank you, Brianna. Our purpose is about eternity. Having that, I believe an overcomer has that eternal perspective that she was talking about. An overcomer has a clear perception of who God is. God's love, God's holiness, God's righteousness, God's sovereignty, God's power, those attributes of God, we have a clear picture of who God is. Hebrews chapter 11. Chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin with which so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore are all our partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers in our flesh which did correct us, and we gave them reverence. Should we not much rather be subject unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he is for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. It's as far as I'll read here this evening. Exhortations to follow Christ. The primary focus I want to look at. Well, one, we will have chastenings, we'll have difficulty, we'll have, and you can interpret that many different ways. I want to look at that today as the things that come our way that are unpleasant. And the verse 2 says, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Continuing to look to Jesus in our lives as overcomers. You know, I believe that each of us have defining moments in our lives. They're defining moments that you think about as you look back on your life. Defining times when there were events in your life that really were major events in your life. And those defining moments can either be blessings, like we talked about the other evening, where you received a tremendous blessing. Undeserved, unknown, tremendous blessing came your way. Or it can also be a tremendous loss. Both can be defining moments in our lives. List for me some blessings that you've received. If anyone would just tell, what's a blessing that you have in your life today? Anyone? Just speak it out. Family. Health. Any other blessings that you think of? Home. Godly heritage. Church family. Promise of heaven. Yes, what was that? Books, okay. Alright. We have blessings. We have many blessings in our lives. Gifts. We have abilities. And we have a house, a place to sleep. There's many blessings that we have. There are difficulties that come our way in health, in finances, in relationships, and just irritations. So there's blessings, there's storms, there's difficulties in our life. Defining moments. Defining moments are, you know, when there's that situation that happens to you in a moment of time. In fact, the Bible is full of defining moments for many individuals, people of faith. If I was to say the flood, who would you think of? What about swallowed by a fish? What about a fiery furnace? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. What about the lion's den? Daniel, sold into slavery by his brothers. Going before the king uninvited. A giant named Goliath. All his possessions destroyed and children killed. Falsely accused and crucified. Those were defining moments in those individuals' lives. Were they comfortable times? Was it comfortable to be children? Was it comfortable to be thrown into that lion's den? With those hungry lions that were there ready to eat them? It was not a pleasant experience. That fiery furnace that was there. Do you think they questioned or they knew what the outcome was going to be as they were being taken to that fiery furnace? I don't know what all kinds of thoughts were going through their mind. Or when Jonah went down into the belly of the fish. Those were the flood. Just think about, we got to, for the first time, go to the creation. I actually went to the ark last year to see that huge ship that was there. Boat. Noah experienced 100 years of ridicule while he was doing what God called him to do. Was that a pleasant experience? What would that do to who you are and your faith and your... would you question that you heard from God when you're walking up against that? But no, these people were people of faith. not pleasant experiences, but they were people that they continued to trust in Almighty God. They knew that they heard from God. David, when he's going up before that giant, Goliath, he could have had, his heart was probably pounding. He wasn't doing it because of his own strength and ability. He was doing it because he heard from God. And he knew this was God's enemy. It wasn't necessarily his enemy. It was his enemy also, but ultimately it was God's enemy that was there. He was obedient. What are you called to? What are the giants that are in your life? Just think about Joseph when he was sold into slavery. All those things that happened to him. Put in a pit. The dissension that was there with his brothers, put in a pit, sold, went to Potiphar, lied about, put in prison. That wasn't a very successful life from our standard, earthly standard in many ways. And because of those events, he could have become very angry, very bitter towards family and towards employee and employer and those around him. But Joseph, when he was face to face with his brothers, the powerful concept that we have today is he saw a God that was bigger than those events and those people, because he said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." Wow, talk about forgiveness that was flowing from his heart. Because he had a God that was bigger than those events. When people and circumstances come against you, what is your response? We have that powerful concept from Joseph today. David, before Goliath, and as he was hunted by the king, by Saul, that was not pleasant. Can you imagine being hunted by the king? Living in those caves and not knowing what was up ahead for him. But today we have, in fact, in Sunday school, we have the Psalms there. We have the beauty of the Psalms today because of what David faced. Job, we have a behind-the-scenes view of what happens in that spiritual warfare that goes on because of his faithfulness through the rapid-fire destruction that came into his life. Jesus, today we have salvation. He was betrayed. Those things that happened to him up till crucifixion. Very unpleasant. But he remained faithful, true, surrendered. Today we have salvation. What is the story that God wants to write in your life because of your faith in him? Your trust in Almighty God. You know, we all have experienced those moments when our normal life comes to a screeching stop. Shatters the our illusions about life and what we think should be our life. Just think for a moment, where were you when the Twin Towers were being attacked? Do you remember when you heard about that? You know where you were. That was a defining time, a defining moment. Some of you remember the space shuttle when it exploded. You know, the precise time in your life when you receive a tremendous blessing or a tremendous loss, you discover what you really believe, what's inside your heart. Norm Wakefield said, you live what you believe. All the rest is just religious talk. You live what you believe. The words that come out of your mouth, the actions that you demonstrate, you live what you really believe in your heart. All the rest is just religious talk. You know, when we experience that defining moment, I see that as a critical crossroad in our life. There is a very, very critical crossroad that we come to at the point, and if I can describe it, when we experience a tremendous blessing in our life, when we've been doing the right things, making wise choices, and we receive a blessing, whether it's in relationships, finances, whatever that situation where we are blessed, right at that time when that happens, there's a critical crossroad. And right at that critical crossroad within our spirit, within our being, there is a lie that Satan wants to put in our mind. And when it's a blessing, he wants us to buy into the lie that casts Satan out of heaven. Because we want to think, it's about me. I can make pretty good choices. I know how to do this. I can accomplish this. We as men, whether it's in business or whatever, you know, we think we can make the right, we make the right choices. We don't maybe say this or express this, but we can think, I don't need other people. Maybe the family of God. Or we think, and we definitely don't say this, but I don't need God. We think we can do it ourselves. There is a lie of pride. Because the possessions that we have, the relationships that we have, the positions that we have, who we are, it's not about us. It's about Almighty God. It's a gift from Almighty God. The blessings that you have, it's only as you pursue God and God opens His hand and He releases those, He blesses you with that. It's from Almighty God. Now that critical crossroad, when you come to a difficulty that slams up against you, something that is so painful, difficult, ugly, there's also a lie that Satan comes. And that lie, we talked a bit about the other night. He wants you to become angry and say, it's not fair. This is not right. He wants you to go on to believe. Now, I'm not talking about a grief process. There is a grief process where we say, God, I don't understand. God, why would you allow something like this? And that's okay. But if through us processing that, if we begin to be, I believe either he attacks us with fear or with that anger and that bitterness. He allows us, he wants us to build a shell around our hearts and around our life. We feel betrayed by God. We say, God, this isn't right. That is a critical crossroad that you and I come to. And there's some that are major crossroads, major events that happen in our life. And I think about some major crossroads that I've had. I think about, and you know, you can identify major crossroads that you've had. I think of Sister Mary and the crossroad of her husband's passing and the events around that. We have those major crossroads that we face. How do we respond when those come our way? That's what I'd like to look at. Three action steps. In fact, Brianna, I don't have my outline. Do you have the verses there? Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus. And then John 16:33 talks about overcoming. I have overcome. And Jesus overcame. And we can overcome. And I don't have those. If you're making a note, those would be two verses to look at as living as an overcomer. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus. After experiencing life situations, we see things differently. We listen differently. We read the scripture differently. We're a different person. After experiencing a tremendous blessing or a great loss, we're different. You don't go back to the time before that event happened. There's a new norm that happens in your life. And it's critically important, how have you prepared for that critical crossroad? Three action steps, and these are on your outline. Number one is to prepare ourselves. How do you prepare yourself for that blessing or that difficulty in your life? Our responses to suffering is usually determined ahead of the event by ideas that we've embraced and prior choices that we've made. Patterns we develop stamp on our consciousness the ideas that we then live out. So today it is vitally important, the choices that you're making, the concepts that you're believing, the messages that you're listening to, the scripture, what you're filling your mind with. Today, if you fill your mind with God's Word, you fill your mind with scripture, with messages, and conversations where you are open and relate with others about the struggle that's going on, the victories that you have, the struggles. If you share with others, you talk with others, it helps to affirm who you are preparing you for either a blessing or a difficulty in your life. Someone said, show me your friends and I will show you your future. Show me five people who are closest to you and I will show you who you will be in 5 years. It's important that you choose friends that are embracing core values of Scripture that you believe, that those are your close friends, those that walk with you. The message you listen to, the things you read, our time devoted to prayer, our daily God consciousness, and developing, listening to the Holy Spirit. Those are part of the steps of preparing yourself for the events that come your way. Look at the things that excite you. Just take a mental note. What are the things that you get excited about? That you love to think about? I know when I'm going to sleep at night, there's things, there's vision, there's things that God has laid on my heart. And so I'm going to sleep at night, I begin to think about, God, what is it that you want to do in this situation? God, how could you orchestrate? How could you arrange? God is what I start, I let that go through my mind. And whether it's a recording project, whether it's a DVD project, whether it's a recording project, whether it's this 4 days of purpose at the prison or just the opportunities that God gives us, I want to think about, I want to saturate my mind with what are God's plans in these things? What excites you? What do you dream about? Throughout the day, when you have some time, when you're not focused on the job or task in front of you, where does your mind go? Because the things that excite you are things you focus on and you'll move in that direction. I read this morning about the 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. And so that's why it's important that we continually fill ourselves, our minds, with the truth of God's Word. And we can get off track so easily. I would encourage you, if there's basic things that you know that you need to have a part of your life, ask someone to help you with that. Whether it's Bible reading or whether it's memorizing or whether it's meditating or your prayer time, talk with others where you're at in those aspects of your life so that they can help you, because we get off track so easily. And if you open your life to another brother, say, hey, here's what I'm doing in my scripture time, my time with God. Here's what it looks like. As you open your life to others in those ways, it helps you. Because if you know someone's going to ask you about those things, it does something to motivate you to stay true to that. Sisters, ask another sister. Talk about those things of God, of His Word, that's preparing you for that blessing. We in America are so blessed. We're blessed. We're more blessed than 95% of the world's population. Everyone in this room is so wealthy. And so as you receive those blessings, whatever they are, relationally or financially or positionally, whatever that blessing that God gives you, you need to be prepared so that you realize it's not about you. It's about His kingdom. That blessing that comes your way, that pride that Satan wants to use to destroy you through that blessing, you need to be able to resist him. I know that, and I don't look down or I don't look judgmentally or critical at others that have made such wrong choices in their life. I have extended family members. Actually, two. An uncle on one side of my family and an uncle on the other side. Dad's brother and mom's brother. That today, the one is dying of AIDS. 2 years ago, he got married in a gay relationship. He grew up in the same preacher's family that my mom did. And I realized that there were things that happened to him as a child that should not have happened. And I realized that there were some things that caused him to be bitter back in the church and with a father that was pastor. And I realized that. It also happened to my mother. When those things happen, God gives grace, but it's our choices that slowly lead us to a path that we can't imagine. Another uncle that a number of years ago that he and another lady from church, they left, not his wife, they left together, ran off together. I'm so thankful that I can say today that God has restored his marriage. But I realize that any one of us are so susceptible. We just begin with a small choice. I don't know how each of these men made those wrong, but I know it was a small choice and a compromise to continue to move the wrong direction till destruction comes in their life. We can't take for granted. We need to be on guard. We need to be vigilant. Preparing ourselves. We need to be very intentional. I mentioned Andy Smith, the 500th man to be executed in the U.S. He never realized that he'd be on death row and one day he would die because of the wrong choices that he made. I don't look critically on those people. I say, God, I could be one of them. I say, God, help me to prepare for that challenge when that critical crossroad comes, that event that enters in my life. That could turn me into being bitter or being angry. God, I want to choose your word and your ways. Number two, on your outline, embrace the challenge. When you receive the loss, acknowledge the pain, be real about the events that are in your life. Two extremes. I think about I call him a friend of mine, a pastor friend that I met 4 or 5 years ago. When I first met him, I took a drive. He wanted to take a drive. Got in his vehicle with him. And he was so angry. So angry. So much anger just flowed out of his mouth. About so many different faces in parts of his life. And it all, he had a son that was 3 years old that drowned. And he stood there, and at the funeral, he preached his son's funeral. And I know that he had to disassociate himself. He wasn't healthy. He didn't grieve that loss properly. He responded intellectually, and he could stand there, I guess, and preach his son's funeral. But years later, he was still dealing with that loss. He was beginning to process that and it was not healthy. So I have a friend last year lost his wife. She passed away, a brain tumor. We've talked many times. He has cried hard. He has wept and he has embraced that loss. He has processed that. Continues to process that. Doesn't mean it just happened back then. He continues to process that loss. And with his boys, with his sons, helping them to process that. The youngest one is probably 8, 9 years old. But he is crying, he is weeping, but he's moving forward in a healthy way. Embrace the challenge that's before you. We know what it's like to have private tears, to have tears as a family. I know what it's like to sit at my desk and cry. I know what it's like to have tears as a family. And I know what it's like to have public tears as you process events in our lives. And I mentioned earlier asking God why. It's not saying, God, you better have a good reason. But say, God, I don't understand. Please help me. And when we ask that question in a very intentional way, God, why? Why would you do this? And we look for good answers to that question. We desire heaven more than we did before. And as Brianna described, that dot and that line, we look forward to that line more than ever before. That's a part of who we are at this time. We listen differently. We would not have the hope and the joy that we have today without that experience. Our souls can experience joy, sorrow, loss at the same time. It expands our soul. It changes who you are. We're more sensitive to others. Our faith has grown. These are all things that we've found as we have said, God, why? These are answers that we've looked for and that we've found. Then number 3. You can't fail unless you give up. Never give up. Number 3, never give up. That's why I like that 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Never give up. We are people of faith. We serve a God that is bigger, a God that is greater. And it's by faith that we embrace that. We look at the eternal reality and not the earthly perception. It's earthly perceptions that we have. But there's an eternal reality that's a part of your life, part of my life. We need to embrace that concept of who God is and His love, His purpose for each one of our lives. We need to embrace the concept of eternity as we live the life of an overcomer. I like to tell our girls, I like them, in fact, the other day I thought I would get a pat on the back as a dad because there's 3 things I want them to know when they go to bed at night. I want them to know that God loves them. I want them to know that I love them. And I want them to know that God has a special plan for their life. And when I pray with them before they go to bed at night, because there's times when, dad needs to be, he needs to bring discipline. After a discipline the other day, a couple weeks ago, I got a note on my desk that said, Daddy, do you love me? And then it said, check, yes or no. And so, you as father, you have that responsibility. But every day I want to reinforce within them that God loves them, I love them, and God has a special plan for their life. And so I was asking them, I said, what are the 3 things that Daddy says every night before bed? And our youngest said, use the restroom, brush your teeth, and crawl in the bed. Wasn't quite what I had in mind. But we continue to work at that. But having an eternal perspective, seeing a God that loves us, having that eternal perspective in our life. This life is like a womb of an experience. I see, when a baby is in a womb, we say that, they can't experience life like we see it, like we know. Because they're restricted. They're in that womb. They can't experience the joys of life and interaction and like that. Once they're born, then we can talk and relate with them. And I see this life as a womb of an experience. We're in a womb right now. One day will be an eternity. That's when we really experience life as God created for us. Today we go through that growth process. And, you know, I shared with Sister Mary today about the, you know, I believe that as we respond to these events in our life, we respond with faith response. Just like Noah and Joseph and David and all these people of faith. We have faith response. We are investing in the eternal. Because God's economy is so different than our economy. And I don't know what that investment looks like. I don't know what, I'm looking forward to one day experiencing that investment in eternity. Because as you respond as in faith response, we are investing in the eternal. It may not make sense, success from this world's perspective, but from an eternal perspective, it does make sense. If you take a yardstick that is 36 inches, and each 2 inches representing, each 1 inch representing 2 years, that would give you 72 years, a lifespan. So if our lives are 72, some are older, some didn't live to be 72, that are missing from us here right now. But I'd like to illustrate, in fact, can we do this? Let's all stand together. I want to just illustrate. Those of you that are, see, 9 inches would be 18 years. Those of you that are 18 and younger, you sit down. You've spent that much of your life. If you're 18 and younger, you have that much remaining. Those of you that are 28 and younger, you sit down. All right? You've spent that much of your life. You have that much remaining. Those of you that are 40 and younger, you sit down. I broke it a little bit wrong there, but anyway, you spent that much of your life. I can't hold all three of them together here. But you spent that much of your life. You have that much remaining. If we live to be 72. Those that are 52 and younger, sit down. You spent that much of your life. Those of you who are standing have that much remaining in your life. If you live to be 72, you may be seated. You see, everyone may be seated. You see how much we've spent. And this, what I'm talking about, is just what's in that little dot. What it's in that dot. You know, when I was 12, I realized that I was a sinner and I needed Jesus. I went to Mom and Dad, and when they prayed with me, admitting that I was a sinner, believing Jesus died on the cross for my sins and be willing to turn away from sin, and when I prayed, God forgave me. There was a joy that came into my heart, my spirit. And I said, God is good. And He was. When I was 19, I began traveling with the ministry, going to churches, going to prisons. And I was assisting. I was doing what I felt God called me to do. Investing unto the least of these is what God had revealed to me earlier. And as I was involved in sharing with the least of these, there was a joy within my heart, and I said, God is good. And He was. When I met Cindy, and when I asked her if she would marry me, and when she said yes, I said, God is good. He's very good. He was. We were married, and as I held that little boy in my hands, I looked into his face as a first-time daddy. The joy that came over me, washed over me, I said, God is good. And He was. The next 10 years, as I heard heart failure for Austin, and then I heard heart failure for Alicia, then I heard cancer for Austin, then I heard cancer the second time for Austin, then I heard heart failure for Austin, up until the day when there was the funeral and the scene that Brianna described. Today when I stand in front of you, and when I say, God is good, it takes on a whole different context. God's goodness isn't necessarily about what makes me happy and comfortable. God was good at salvation. God was good when I was pursuing what I felt God called me to do. God was good at marriage. God was good when I held that little boy in my hands. He was good. God wants to give us opportunities to exchange a me-centered philosophy of life for a God-centered focus in life. And God's still working at me, in me, to help me see life from God's perspective and to exchange a me-centered, I can so easily turn to a me-centered focus. Whether it's in family, whether it's in church, whether it's in ministry, the me center just wants to come up in my life. But God's goodness, He loves us regardless of those events that come our way. And He wants to show love. He wants to walk with us when we burn our hands. When He wants to walk with us when we experience pain and evil in our life. He wants to be there for us. I have this water bottle. I want to ask you this as we close here this evening. As you've been bumped by life, what has come out of you? Because life will bump us. And what's inside is what's going to come out. What have been the words that you have said? It can be major defining moments, or it can be those little defining moments. In your home or in your car as you're driving to church or to work, or those events that come up that bump us. The life of an overcomer, I believe, looks at the eternal perspective, the dot and the line. The life of the overcomer says, God is bigger than this mountain. No, I don't stay in abusive situations where there's moral pain that other people are inflicting. If there's abusive situations, we need to get out of that. But we don't allow ourselves to have an emotional focus that's angry and bitter at people. We don't allow fear to grip our hearts, to grip our lives. Our response to blessings and storms validates our relationship with God. Your response, what comes out of your mouth, it validates your relationship with God. It validates what's in your heart, the choices that you've made as you've continued to surrender to Him. I'd like if we can stand together this evening. Brianna, if you'd play. I don't know what you've been bumped with in life. And I don't know what your response has been. But as we close this evening, if you're saying here tonight, if you'd say, you know, there's something that's just tearing me up on the inside. Yes, I look pretty good on the outside. I have a smile. But there's something that's I'm struggling with. And I, like Joseph and Noah and Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, like Esther, I want to have faith response. whether it's 100 years of ridicule, whether it's a fiery furnace, whether it's a... I want to have faith response. I don't want to respond with a self-centered focus. But I want to have a God-centered focus. I just want to ask God to help me with that God-centered focus. It's our final service here. I'd like to just give you the opportunity just to come and pray if that's your desire as we bow our heads this evening. God, I thank you for tonight. God, I thank you for this family of faith. These men and women, young people that have chose to be people of faith. God, I pray that you just visit us with your Holy Spirit this evening. As our heads are bowed, and if you're saying tonight, I just want to ask God to walk with me that I can have faith response to whatever event that is in your life right now. And maybe it's a blessing. Maybe it's a loss or a difficulty. I'd just like to give a brief moment this evening for you to come and to pray if God is speaking to your heart about that this evening.